Jesus said to his disciples, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit upon his glorious throne, and all the nations will be assembled before him. And he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will place the sheep on his right, and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. A stranger, and you welcomed me. Naked, and you clothed me. Ill, and you cared for me. In prison, and you visited me.' Then the righteous will answer him and say, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you to drink? When did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you ill or in prison and visit you?' And the king will say to them in reply, 'Amen, I say to you, whatever you did for one of these least brothers of mine, you did for me.' Then he will say to those on his left, 'Depart from me, you accursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. A stranger, and you gave me no welcome. Naked, and you gave me no clothing. Ill and in prison, and you did not care for me.' Then they will answer and say, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or ill, or in prison, and not minister to your needs?' He will answer them, 'Amen, I say to you, what you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me.' And these will go off to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life." The Gospel of the Lord. What fundamentally is Jesus teaching us in this parable in which he opens up life beyond death and allows us to peer into our eternal destiny? We who are dust, who have our existence, what we think of as our life, what does he want us to know ahead of time, right now? First, that he is Lord. And second, that our lives will be referred to him absolutely, unqualifiedly, and without exception. And that we belong to each other in belonging to him. In the eyes of Christ, there are no isolated individual lives. There is all of us together, each of us with our mission and responsibility, which is unique and irreplaceable. The Lord values our life infinitely, all the way down, all the way out, even beyond the grave. November is the month in which the church contemplates in a special way the four last things: death and judgment, heaven and hell. This day, All Souls Day, is the day we devote to contemplating this power that the Lord has given us to to make intercession for each other, even beyond death. Because love, divine love, as the Song of Songs tells us, is stronger than death. There are two ways that our life can be an eternal benefit to those who've gone before us. The first way is for us to study their goodness, of our family, our friends, all those whose earthly life has come to its natural completion. We can examine that goodness and acknowledge that it comes ultimately from God, and its perfective goal is God. And when we imitate that goodness, make it our own, not to be jealous of it or envious of those people, but actually to take that goodness as a gift that the Lord gave to them and through them for us, when we do that and allow it to grow in us to overflowing so that we can share it, we are honoring the lives of our family and friends, and we are also worshiping God. We are fulfilling our destiny of belonging to each other. We're allowing the divine love to circulate through us, from them, for other people. And that brings joy. This brings us to the second action that is so important for those who have died. We can study where they failed, where they fell short, maybe even where they fell into catastrophic sin. And we can learn what not to do. We can allow our hearts to be converted from any participation in that. And in fact, we can even allow our lives to be a medicinal remedy for the human race that has been wounded by sin. And when we do that, we are also allowing the Lord to show those who have died how our own conversion is offered as a blessing, as a salvific remedy for them. When we die, our opportunity to cooperate ends. And when we die, our reliance on the mystical body of Christ at prayer deepens. If there is any goodness in us that can be purified, any evil that we have clung to that can be purged, it is Christ's will that it pass through the church at prayer. The church militant on earth, because our battle still remains to be fought. The church penitent, suffering beyond this life, with goodness that is being brought to full stature as gold in a refiner's fire. This fire not being primarily punitive, but medicinal, to come into the presence of God, the fire of divine charity that does not tolerate any evil, to inherit the kingdom of heaven, to encounter that
necessarily requires freedom from any attachments less than it. And the church triumphant, the church fully perfected, is also joining its prayers to ours to fulfill the prayer that the Blessed Virgin Mary, who appeared to the children in Fatima in the first years of the 20th century, she said that we should pray in the following way: O my Jesus, forgive us our sins, save us from the fires of hell, lead all souls to heaven, especially those in most need of thy mercy. When we make intercession for those souls most in need, we are receiving from Christ the benefit to share with the rest of his body. There is more joy in heaven, Jesus says, over one sinner who repents than over 99 who pretend that they don't need it. The meaning of Jesus' parable of the sheep and the goats isn't that the judgment passes right down the middle of the aisle, as if to say, those of you on my right, congratulations, you picked the right location this weekend. Inherit the kingdom. Sorry, those on the left, you chose the wrong location. Depart. Rather, the parable passes right through each of our hearts. Because when I look in the mirror in the morning, what looks back at me is a sheep with goat-like tendencies. And when I look at this congregation as your shepherd, I see sheep with goat-like tendencies. We're in this together. At every Mass, we pray for those who have died, especially those who have died more recently, this week, this month. In a few days, we're going to have a Mass at St. Vincent's for all of the members of our parish who have died in the past year. When we visit the Spiritual Center Cemetery, the Oratory Graveyard, we are doing so as an act of faith, an opportunity to examine our own lives. Lord, what is the goodness that I've received from all of these people that I need to share? And every time I do that, I'm also doing it for you, because I'm receiving it from you. And whenever I've encountered people who may have hurt me, sinned against me, Lord, I learn from that. I do other than that. If somebody has been impatient, Lord, I want to be patient. If somebody's been mean, Lord, I want to be kind. If somebody's been stingy, Lord, I want to be generous. And I offer that as an eternal blessing for those most in need of your purification from my heart to theirs. This is what it means to live as members of one body, to care about each and all. All Souls Day is really every day. All Souls Day is our day. And while we breathe this side of the grave, we can contribute immeasurably to the eternal good of others, and we can have a good measure of hope that we will be supported in this when our time comes to meet the Lord in judgment, to receive from the Lord his purifying, transformative mercy.